Wherever internet is available, what a glorious, glorious thing. And I think it's just a tremendous benefit, and we are privileged to be here on WMIE. My name is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you today, where we are still talking about this foundational truth. And I know it sounds very basic, but if you don't get this truth right, then you're not going to have the proper authority or foundation for all of the other truths that we are going to talk about, that we are supposed to be seeking, searching diligently for, inquiring, constantly interacting with. I pray that when you come to the Word of God, that the Word of God doesn't just sound good to your ear, but it actually influences and impacts your heart, your life, your mouth, your brain, the things that you look at, the things that you do throughout your day. I pray that the one true God, which is what we're talking about right now, it causes tremendous benefit in your life and my life. Today we're going to pick up in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 10, and we were there yesterday, and I'm not sure we'll get through all of these passages today. If we don't, we'll get done tomorrow, I promise. If we don't get done tomorrow, we'll get done on Monday. But Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 10, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. So we have been talking about the things that are of importance to us because God is the one true God. So he is our Redeemer, and so we can commit our very existence, our past, our present, our future into his hand. He is the living God. He is the everlasting King. That means there's not going to be a change in his government. Whenever I read through the Old Testament and I see the length of time that some of those monarchs ruled on the throne, there's a couple of different things that impact me. One is that there were some that started way, way too young. I mean, they were 8 and 12 teenagers when they went to the throne, and I haven't met a teenager yet that I would trust with an entire nation. But God's God, and he knows things that I don't, and so he knows what he's doing, so I'm going to trust him. But the other thing was how long some of those kings stayed on the throne. There were 40 years. I think there was a 52. Can you imagine if there was a person who had no spiritual foundation, didn't have a relationship with God, and just was making a horrible mess of the country? Can you imagine being stuck for decades with kings who did not know that God was the one true God? So it makes me very thankful that presidents can only be in office for 8 years, and then someone else. It doesn't mean that if one king was, or one president was successful, that the next one isn't going to come in and mess things up or anything like that, because we have sure seen that here in America, that is a very real possibility. God is the everlasting King. He's not going anywhere. There is no threat to his throne. I guarantee you that the battle that was waged by Satan's rebellion, Lucifer's rebellion against God, that it was not a long, drawn-out war. It simply is over whenever it says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you." Battle over. Get out of here, and bam, he's got to go. God's decree as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is a edict, a dictate from the throne that is irresistible and will take place, will be fulfilled immediately. So he's the everlasting king. One more thing that I want to point out to you here about this one true God is that at his wrath, the earth will tremble and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Do not mistake God's long suffering for incompetence. Do not mistake God's patience for permissiveness. And do not think he is endorsing it just because he has not stepped in at a certain point in time. God will hold everyone accountable for the things that they need to be held accountable to. It says that that point in time when his wrath is revealed, that it is a time of trembling, of fear and trembling, and that the people groups will not be able to withstand when the one true God deals with all of the lies and deceptions of a spiritual nature, of a rebellious nature that have been poured out throughout his people and throughout time. There is a day of accountability that is coming. Daniel chapter 2 is Daniel before King Nebuchadnezzar. And it says in verse number 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present him an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings. We've already talked about those. And a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Nebuchadnezzar had asked the wise men to reveal what he had dreamed and what the interpretation of the dream was. And they couldn't do it. And he said, you're worthless to me. I'm going to kill you all. That was what he said. He was the king. And he could have had them all killed. But when the person in charge of the executions got to Daniel, he said, what's this all about? He said, the king had a dream. And so far, the wise men haven't been able to answer him. And Daniel says, well, give me tonight and I'll give you the answer tomorrow. And when Daniel hears from God and goes to Nebuchadnezzar and details the dream that he had, as well as the explanation of the dream, then Nebuchadnezzar says, your God is by truth the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and he is the revealer of secrets. There are certain characteristics about God. He's eternal. He's going to live forever. He is omnipresent. That means no matter where you are at, God is there, and you can know him wherever you are. He is also omniscient. He knows everything. So Robert Morris describes omnipotent as all-powerful. Omnipresent, he is present everywhere. And omniscient means that he knows everything. So he says the word science means to know. And God knows everything. And so when you look at omniscience, which is O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, omniscience is the way it would look like it would be pronounced, but it's omniscience. It means that God knows everything. You're never going to discover a subject that God isn't the foremost expert on that subject. Whether it has to do with time, mechanics, philosophy, spiritual reality, physical benefit. What if we realized that God knows everything that has been revealed to man, but he knows exponentially more about things that man hasn't even got a clue about yet. We could look and say, God, I need to consult you in this. And because of that, when you have a commandment about what I can and cannot do with my body, when you have a commandment about what I should and shouldn't do with my heart, when you have an edict that tells me how I should manage my finances, how I should conduct myself in my marriage and in my parenting, when you give wisdom as it relates to work and government, that it is God revealing not a restrictive commandment, but it's a revelation of things that are secret because he wants us to succeed. So someone posted on social media, I basically use social media right now to live stream our services on Sundays. I also keep track of birthdays and things like that. And ever so often I'll find time that if it's a notification that says somebody posted something, I'll click on that. And somebody posted a picture, and it was probably made up, but it said, I sent my husband to the grocery store with this list, and then I turned my phone off. And the reason was because the items on the list didn't exist. And my comment to that was, set up to fail instead of set up to succeed. When our privilege as human beings should be to set one another up to succeed. And when God, the living God, the one true God and the revealer of secrets, when he reveals things to us, it's so that we are set up to succeed. Let's go over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And verse number 32. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he." Verse number 34, Jesus says to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." I want you to know today that if you have a substance abuse problem, that even in that problem, you may not, or you're not very far from God. You are one prayer away from God setting you free and living in your heart and giving you a path to victory. If you're an alcoholic, you are one prayer away. If you're an adulterer or an immoral person, you are one prayer away. But the truth is, there is only one true God. So, I have this mindset and this verbiage that I put in to a certain context, and that is, in a marriage, sometimes there are influences that come into a marriage that have a detrimental effect. And I do not identify the word adultery to strictly be a person who commits sexual immorality with someone other than what they are married to. The context of the word makes us realize that there is a spiritual adultery that takes place. And so my understanding of the concept is this: anyone or anything that comes in between you and your spouse, whether that is a substance, whether that is a hobby, whether that is an individual, or whether it's your job, don't allow that to wedge itself in between you and your spouse. It's not healthy. And so make sure that God is the defining force in your life. I think I told you about the person who gave some advice to another person that said, hey, go home and spend some time with your family. They'd been pushing and pushing and pushing at work. Go home and spend some time with your family. What if we hit the brakes on this crazy fast paced life that we live? What if we hit the brakes and said, you know what? I'm going to enjoy my family. Now, my kids are, for the most part, in a different financial reality than my wife and I were in. We didn't make a lot of money. We came to Merit Assembly of God, and there wasn't much money there. Both of our realities have changed pretty significantly since then. But my kids are in different conditions than we were in when they were little. And so when I see the things that they're doing, if I'm not careful, I can feel bad about the things we weren't able to do with our children when they were at that age, because we didn't have the resources, and my parents and her parents lived in different parts of the country. And so anytime we had vacation, we were going to take the kids because we wanted them to know their grandparents. But my advice to my kids who are, you know, one is a parent, and there are others that are in the process of becoming parents, that spend as much time with your kids, not just for entertainment purposes, but imparting faith into them. Show them what a lifestyle of faith looks like. And so if we keep our relationship with God our top priority, if we keep our spouse our next priority, and our children the priority beneath that, I tell you what, you're going to find that all of the other issues of life tend to resolve themselves, because you do not allow for any inordinate affections or affections that are out of order into your life. I had to go buy a different padlock. I had one that I had bought several years ago, and I wasn't able to go to the gym for a while, and I forgot the combination. I thought I could remember the numbers, but I never could get the sequencing right. And you know what that lock would not do? It would not open up. It was a perfectly good lock. It still had gloss on it. It was wonderful. But I couldn't remember the order, and I couldn't remember the exact numbers, and so it was a paperweight. And so I went and bought another padlock that looked identical, almost identical to the one that I had, and put combination. It was a combination lock, not a padlock. I put the combination someplace that if my mind forgot, I could still lay hold of that thing and not render it useless. There is no other God. And so our response in verse number 33 is that we should love him with all our heart, with all our understanding, with all our soul, and with all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's how we respond to the fact that there is one true God and no other but he. We love him with everything we have within us. Have you ever known someone that they gave it their all? They left everything. They were fully invested. They were mentally focused, physically focused, spiritually focused, financially focused on achieving a goal. And they gave it their everything. That's the way we're supposed to live our life in love with Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do that. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And it says in verse number 3, "And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. He is the only true God and eternal life. That thing that we want is to know him. And that doesn't begin after our last breath. It should begin with the earliest breath possible. If you weren't raised in a church home, you can't do anything about the breaths that you've already breathed, but you can give God the breaths that you have to come. And so let your eternal life begin as early as possible, and that you know God. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Don't spend any more of your time apart from eternal life than you have to. One last passage. We're going to go to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 20, and it says this, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Knowing him is a privilege. You know, it's always a much more engaging opportunity whenever I go to do something and I encounter a person there that I know. My wife used to have this joke that when we went out of town, we would see people that I knew, even though we weren't going there to see anybody, didn't know that we knew anybody there. At one point in time, we lived in one state. We went to a different state, went into a clothing store and ran into a person that I went to high school with. She was like, "How in the world do you do that?" It's like, I don't know. I don't know. My kids went with me to general counsel one year, and they came back and they said, "Mom, Dad knows everybody." Dad knows everybody. We couldn't walk 15 feet without seeing somebody that he knew. I don't know everybody, but I love seeing people that I know. Not just knowing by sight, but knowing personally and being interested in what was going on in their life and being engaged in whatever I could do to help them to succeed. Know God, and that is our privilege. We are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I tell you, that is a great, great privilege. When we are about this goal of seeking truth, it has got to begin with this foundation, that there is one true God. We recognize him as God the Father, God the Son, the Word, Jesus Christ, and we also recognize God the Holy Spirit. Too many times people forget about God the Holy Spirit. And you say, can you give us an explanation about how there's one true God and three different manifestations of that one true Godhead? And I could give you some pictures, But let me just say this. A lot of times when I'm communicating something that my kids can't, or now my kids are smarter than I am. When my kids or grandkids don't understand something, I try to break it down into the simplest concept that they may be able to grasp. It may not be a perfect picture, but it helps them to understand. Can I tell you just a little bit about this one true God? He is off the scale. He is off the scale in goodness. He is off the scale in truth. He is infinite in mercy and kindness and goodness. He is infinite in love. He is infinite in truth. He is infinite longing to be involved in your life and my life. The problem with my understanding is never with God. It's always with the fact that I have a finite ability to grasp that truth. Now, let me tell you what I do, how I respond whenever my finiteness comes up against God's infinite reality. And that is this. I say, God, I do not understand how both of these truths could be true, but I know that you have the ability to pull it off. And I will tell you this, my finite mind will never be able to fully grasp an infinite God. I want you to be blessed. One true God. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Where all the